Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Jim Cobray.
Go with me to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verse number 17. Again, I just want to mention that if you didn't get the message from last week, download it. It's free. Oh my goodness, Pastor Luke's message is amazing. But we're going to continue in that same verse, if you will, and it's about Abraham. You notice, I want to talk to you about Abraham just for a moment. Abraham is a father of faith, right? The Bible makes it very clear that without Abraham, he was the first Hebrew. Now, I want to make this clear to you because he was not, a lot of times people will say he's the first Jew. He wasn't the first Jew. Judah hadn't come into existence yet, not at all. And so he was the first Hebrew. He's the first one that ever heard from God and followed God and did what God would have him to do. It's amazing. And that's what makes him the father of our faith, all of us. And he talks about, if you will, Abraham all through the Old Testament. It's interesting, but all through the New Testament as well, as we'll see today. And there's a reason for that. It's because he absolutely set a foundation for us as an example on how to live our life, whether it's the Old Testament you're looking at or the New Testament you're looking at. In fact, you're going to read this verse. I'm going to give you the title of today's message, and then I'm going to go and show you how it all works out, because you're going to like this. And the reason I know you're going to like it, my friends, is because, doggone it, you really want to know what God wants for you. You know you do, or you wouldn't be here. You know, doggone it, you want to know how to get blessed. You don't want to live, you know, just getting by and barely making it. And you go to churches and you find other people blessed and you find yourself not blessed. Blessed means, you know, I'm not talking about just money in your pocket, but I'm not excluding that either. Blessed means everything. God wants to prosper you and successful in your home, family, children, finances, dreams, vision. God really cares about you. I mean, if you read this whole book, some people say, you know, this whole book's about God. Can I tell you something? I've gone past that. This whole book's about God. It is, but it's all about, listen to this, what God wants for you. In order to get what God wants for you, you got to believe in who he is. So the book becomes about him, but it's not. Ultimately, the book becomes about you. Because all that he says about him gets us to believe in him so that our life can be changed the way he wants our life to be changed. Why? Because God loves you and wants to bless you. I mean, bottom line, listen to this. Nobody, if you have children on this planet, you're a parent right now in this room, you know darn well you want your children blessed. They may have been the biggest jerks in the whole world. They may have done everything wrong. They may not even talk to you or care about you, but you want your children blessed. You would love to see them just prosper in every area of your life. And that's what God feels about you and I. But it doesn't happen because we call ourselves a Christian. It will in heaven. But you notice how he left you here? And so while you're here, he wants to prosper you. You're going to prosper in heaven. They're going to have no sickness in heaven. You're going to be blessed in heaven. But while you're here on this journey, God wants you to be a witness to a lost and dying world. Listen to this, of the goodness of God. And he can't get you to be a witness when you're broke down, busted, and disgusted, and nobody wants to even admire or think about you or even be near you or want to. Come on. God wants to bless you. And when you finally come to that place, you say, well, God wants to bless me. Then you have to come to the question and say, why doesn't he just bless me? That's the question. If he wants to bless me, why doesn't he just bless me? He's God. Because any more than you would bless your kids with stuff when they're not prepared to handle it. The blessing would become a cursing, and God loves you too much to curse you with blessing. So in order for us to get the blessings, which is all about getting into the things of God, we find ourselves learning from the scripture on how to apply what God says and the reasons for why he's saying it. And that's why it's so interesting to look at Abraham, Old Testament as well as New Testament. It's about Abraham, but it's not just about Abraham, it's about you. That's the crazy part. It's not about Abraham. It's about you understanding Abraham's position so that you can be what you need to be before God, so that God can bless you like Abraham. Is anybody listening? I'm going to have to go fast, so I'm going to read this to you, and let's just look at it together. Verse 17, the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews 11th chapter has been amazing. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested. All of us are going to be tested. You know why we're going to be tested? Because guess what? Talk's cheap. God knows it. You know, you ever heard the statement, put your money where your mouth is? Well, sometimes we have to put our faith and what we do with where our mouth is. God don't care about money. In the business world, put your money where your mouth is. God cares about your faith and your heart and your actions and your ideologies and your philosophies about who he is. Put it where your mouth is. And in order to have that done, we can come along and say, oh, I believe God, I believe God, I believe God. Guess what? Doesn't matter. It's going to have to be tested. And the test you're going to find is going to build you strong enough to realize who you are, where you're at, and what you're doing, and where you're going, and how you're going to finish. Because if you don't know who you are, where you're going, and what you're doing, and how you're going to finish, you'll never do anything. Amen. Is anybody listening? Amen. Thank you for that one that's right. He says, he offers up Isaac. It's like craziest thing in the world. He who had received the promise, I mean, God promised him Isaac, offered up his only begotten son. And in this, there's two things I want you to see. Obedience and sacrifice. Not just testing. Sometimes we just zero in on testing, but the verse speaks of a character that's being built on the inside of Abraham that you and I need to see, and it's called obedience to what God said that brings forth sacrifice. And I'm going to share this with you. That brings forth an incredible worship of God. I'll show it to you and prove it to you later. That brings blessings. And sometimes we won't avoid the process, and you can't do it. If I wanted to walk from here to Yucaipa, I'm gonna have to get out and walk. I can't fly there or any other thing. If I was gonna walk, I gotta do the process. Sometimes we wanna not do the process and get there, and we don't ever get there. And saints, people that are born of the Spirit of God, listen to what I'm saying to you. This is a path that God has for you to walk. And I entitle the message, The Unusual Path to Blessings. The Unusual Path to Blessings. Without an understanding of this, which is all found beginning in verse number 17, you're going to miss a lot in life and wonder, why aren't I blessed? Why do I hear about the favor of that guy? How come that guy has what I have, but he seems to have everything rolling and things are happening? And why, what's going on that I'm not there, but they are? I'm sick of that. I'm going to give up going to church. I don't believe that stuff anymore. I don't understand. And you get all frustrated and you're no longer in church in 5 years because you don't understand the simple principles found in verse 17. Whew, amazing. In order to understand this better, I want to take you to the New Testament and the Old Testament. First, I want to take you to the New Testament. I want to take you to the book of James. James, a half-brother of Jesus, the senior pastor of the Church of Jerusalem. Can you imagine being the half-brother of Jesus? Different fathers. And the half-brother of Jesus, the senior pastor of Jerusalem, is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and his name is James. And when he writes something that we need to get a hold of, and he uses as the example, for an example, let me say this. For an example, he uses this, and I want you to concentrate on this. I want you to think about this. Here is something that Abraham did that brought the blessings. In James, the second chapter, he explains what it is that Abraham did that brings the blessings. And you got to get this. Is that okay? Because if you don't understand this, you're not going to get anything. So we're going to just look at it for a few moments. Sorry, in verse number 18. Let's put it up on the overhead just for all of you. But get your Bibles out. When you come to the Rock Church, you ought to bring a Bible. My goodness, you're not bringing a Bible. Go slap yourself. Go out there to the bookstore and get a Bible. For goodness sakes alive. How are you ever going to learn? Now, I know you say, well, my Bible's on my phone. My Bible's on this. My Bible's on this electrical. But at least bring them. Don't text people and pretend like you're studying the Word of God. Look at you laugh. You know you do that. How do I know? Debbie just received. We got almost 1,000 on that. Okay, so that was a text while we're worshiping God. Someone will say, now listen to this. Remember, these are the principles that Abraham did that caught the heart of God that brought him to the blessings. Unusual path to blessings. That's what we're talking about. Are you ready? Let's follow it. But someone will say, you have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, you say, what has that got to do with anything? Oh, it does. In a moment, you'll see it. But in order for you to understand this verse, you've got to understand in one verse, he says the word three times, the word works. And most people in American churches today don't understand the word works. We think works is doing something, you know, that we should do. In other words, where somebody comes along and says, you should do this if you're a Christian. Okay, I'll do it, but I don't want to do it. And we say works. And we don't understand works. So I'm going to easily define the word works for you so that you can understand it. This is the San Bernardino translation. You'll find that often at the Rock. In fact, I'll put it up on the overhead for you. It says works defined is this. What a man does because of his beliefs. Now let me say it again. What a man does because of his beliefs. Now, if we were going to look at that, we could say, when he's starting to talk about what Abraham did, and what Abraham did was absolutely mind-boggling. Do you remember that? God speaks to him and says, I want you to offer up Isaac, your only begotten son. And he offers up Isaac. Like, who does that? And you'll see it in a minute. He goes and he takes Isaac up top of a mountain. And there he's going to offer him as a burnt offering. Do you know what a burnt offering is? A burnt offering is cremation. That whatever it is that you're offering to God is being cremated so it can't be used for anything else. And there's nothing left of it. Usually that kind of a sacrifice is something that is very expensive and you feel it. And in this particular case, Abraham had to feel it. It was his only begotten son. He had waited 100 years for this man. It was part of the promise. This is a young lad now. He's probably a teenager. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, God speaks to him and says, Abraham, I want you to follow me and I want you to go yonder and I'll tell you where. And I want you to offer up your son, your only begotten son. And I want you to take him and I want you to use him as a burnt offering to me. You know what I would have said? Let's be honest. I'd have said, what? The devil has just spoken to me, Debbie. Wouldn't you? I mean, how do you love something enough to take it and kill it like that? Oh my God. His whole existence in the future was based on that boy. It was the most important thing of his life. Not money, not prestige, not power, not recognition by people. Nothing was important as that boy. And now God says, take the boy, put him on the altar, kill him and burn him to ashes. Oh my God. Now you have to understand the scenario. Remember, he doesn't have a Bible in front of him. He hasn't had 2,000 years of experiences that we can check out to see if it's God or not. He doesn't have anything except the voice of the Lord that spoke to him. He did not know what you know and what I know, that our God does not accept human sacrifice. All the religions of those days were offering human sacrifice. It was a very normal thing. All of a sudden, now he hears this human sacrifice. He did not know that it was repugnant to our God. So he's challenged to his core over this. What an amazing thing. And he goes to offer this child. And that's why we're talking about this. If you understand what he starts to talk about here, James, you understand what it is, the depth of what Abraham did as an example for you and I. Listen closely. He says this, what a man does because of his belief, he believed God greater than his own feelings, greater than his own heartbeat, greater than his own want, greater than his own desire. When God spoke, it became more important than anything he had to offer, and anything he possessed, and anything he wanted, and any will he had, and any plans that he had in the future. It was gone when God spoke. He believed it, and he operated. And that's what the word works is describing, an incorrect, if you will, interpretation. A wrong interpretation of works is this: what a man does because of traditions, rituals, and emotional functions, ceremonial functions. In other words, someone comes along and says, you're a Christian, you stop that. Christians don't do that. Can I tell you something? I'm saved instantaneously. I'm washed by the blood instantaneously, but God still got to deal with this flesh, and so do I. And I'm sanctified immediately, but there's a progressional sanctification that takes care of this flesh that I live in. I'm not instantaneously perfect. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, bang, instantaneous, but I still act like a butt sometimes. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so, this is what we're seeing here. So someone comes up and says, you gotta stop that. Christians don't do that. Can I tell you something? If you just hang in there with God, God will show you how to stop it. And by the way, by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you, you will stop it. If you keep working at it, but if you just give it up and say you're gonna just, that's what you are, you'll never change. Is anybody listening? Because our works have got to come from our heart and not from our head or our flesh. And when your works comes from your head and flesh, now it's the improper and wrong interpretation of the word works. And it's so important for us to get this, because without it, you don't understand it. Verse number 19. Verse 19 is right in the middle of this explanation of works comes verse 19. Verse 19 is a mind boggling verse. It's nuts. Usually when people talk, they talk that they complete their sentences and their thoughts all the way through, and then there's this verse that's right in the middle that doesn't make any sense at all. Or does it? Verse 19 says these words, you believe that there is one God. Hey, you do pretty good doing that. That's well job, good job, one God. But then he comes along and says this, but even the demons believe and they tremble. What he just said is this, believing to the place where there's one God is not good enough unless there's some action behind your belief, and that's what's important. Demons believe, but they never have any action towards that which is good, so they tremble knowing the outcome of the judgment that's coming against them. And oftentimes Christians will say, I'm a Christian, but I don't do nothing. I don't have to do nothing. You know, Paul says, I'm so free, I don't have to do anything. But sometimes you got to understand it like this. He also goes on to make the statement. He says, but not everything that I'm free to do is good for me. And if I'm a Christian, then what I believe, I will do. Is that not what we just found out? That's called works. What I believe, I will do. And so that he comes along and says, well, you could say you believe in God, just like demons believe in God, but they're not getting anywhere because their belief is no good because it's not backed up by works. So they trembled knowing the judgment. Right in the middle of this, verse number 20, watch this, fascinating. Verse number 20, but do you want to know, oh foolish, I mean, do you want to know something? How do you, I mean, I didn't write this. Is that okay? I just kind of put my personality into it so you can get it. Do you want to know, oh foolish man? Let me put it in San Bernardino language. Do you want to know, stupid? That faith without works is what? Dead. You can believe whatever you want to believe until you put it to work. It ain't going to work. Until you have a lifestyle that you're working at that backs what you believe. That's what it says. Right after verse number 19, it says they believe it, they tremble. Verse number 21, watch this. Was not Abraham, now we're back to Abraham, our illustration, our example. Was not Abraham, now right after works and not working in faith without works, is dead. All of this stuff, in other words, there's gotta be action that backs what you really believe. Yeah. I didn't say it, God said it. He's running, you know what amazes me? I run into people nowadays say, you don't have to do anything. And I say, well, what about the book of James? There's numerous places besides the book of James. And they make this statement. Well, the book of James really doesn't belong to us. You better get out of that church. Can I tell you something? When you start pulling out scriptures to fit your stupid theology, then guess what? You are really stupid. And when you follow a pastor that ain't going nowhere, you ain't going nowhere either. Man, there's some stupid people out there making stupid comments. If I believe, my Bible says I ought to put something to work. Even if it's a little bit, I'll start somewhere doing something because I believe it. You know? So he comes along, he says, was not Abraham, father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? We just got through reading that. And the answer to that is, of course he was. Verse number 21, watch this. Do you see that faith was working together with works? 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 What kind of work? What are we talking about? As a man believes, that's what he does. A faith was working together with works. Faith was working together with works. Faith was working together with works. Can't get any clearer than that. And by works, faith was made. You mean my faith would be less than perfect if I don't put to work what I believe? So sitting around and saying, the grace of God covers me, that'll get you to heaven, maybe. I'm not the judge of that. Verse 23 comes along and says this, watch this. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. But verse 20, I like this, verse 24, do we have verse 24? It says, and you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Somebody be, I have faith. What are you doing about it? Because if you're going to do what you really believe, that's what God says. That's why it made Abraham so amazing. Now, in order to understand this, let me take you to Genesis. Let's go a little deeper. Because remember, we're talking about a path to blessings. So we've seen obedience. We understand works, or we understand, if you will, a sacrifice. But I want to take you somewhere that you've probably never seen before. So let's go to Genesis 22nd chapter. And let's start in verse number 1. Pretty neat verse. Verse number 1, Genesis 21 says this. Says, now it came to pass that after these things that God, we'd already talked about that, didn't we? Tested Abraham. Now watch this. So, you know, sometimes in your walk, for your own purpose, God's going to check you. In fact, the Bible says numerous times that you should check yourself out from time to time, make sure you're right with God. But God's going to check you. That's for the testing. Trial, tribulation, evil, temptation, pressures, life. God doesn't test you with evil, but they're still in your life, still come along, as Pastor Luke told us, and they'll put pressure on us. And how we deal with them is very, very important. And sometimes God will ask you to obey and sacrifice. And he says to Abraham, and Abraham says, here I am, verse number two. Verse two really becomes fascinating. He says, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, and whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering, as one of the mountains in which I shall tell you. Verse number three. So Abraham rose early. That just blows me away. Can I tell you something? If God told me to do something as abrasive as he told Abraham, I would maybe say to God, you didn't say when. I'm going to sleep in this morning. I think God put this part up there. And so Abraham rose early. You guys in the back room ought to highlight that, because that's really crazy. The guy can hardly wait to fulfill what God said. Isn't that different than modern Christianity today? We make every excuse in the world not to fulfill. Oh, wait a minute. I'll offer that up next week when I have it. You don't have to say amen. You could say ouch. And Abraham rose early in the morning, and he saddled up his donkeys, and he took two of his young men and Isaac, his son. Verse number four. And he split the wood in a burnt offering, and he rose, and he went into a place in which God had told him. Verse number four. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse number five. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, the lad and I. Remember, this lad, this is a teenager. He knows what he's doing. He's going to be carrying wood, so he's not a little kid. He's not stupid. Sometimes we think he didn't know what was going on. This is a teenager, probably, young teenager. And he says these words. He says, the lad and I will go yonder, and we will worship. Now, I don't know if you understand what he just said. He said, we're going to go and we're going to worship. Man, I wonder if Elijah and the team are up there. You will not find any music being played up there. He's not going to go at any time and sing, this is the day that the Lord has made, but the Lord has made. That's not worship. Worship is different. We worship because we come into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. We wash off the dirt. We're reminded of who he is. We need that. We come into the house of God and thank God for our music ministry. But real worship, real worship, know if I want to say this. This might clean out the whole church, God. And at my age, I gotta start all over. Real worship is obedience that follows with sacrifice, oftentimes. Because I can be obedient to the stuff that he wants me to do that don't cost me nothing, that I don't feel, or it's in agreement with my plan. But being obedience to stuff that's contrary to my thinking, contrary to my feelings, contrary to my plans, contrary to my way, contrary to my will, contrary to how I vision the future. Oh my goodness, are you telling me I've got to give all of that up? Ha, 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 ha. worship. Whew. Someone says, how do I worship God? It didn't turn your radio on while you go to work on the freeway in the 10 freeway. And it might worship God to keep you from flipping everybody off in the crowd. But worship God is a whole lot more. It's deeper. And when you want to get into deep worship, which does something, it's obedience with sacrifice. And me and the young lad will go yonder and worship. And we'll come back to you. Verse 6. And Abraham took the wood in a burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took up the fire in his hand as a knife, and the two of them went together. And Isaac spoke to his father and said, Father, my father, verse 7. And he said, I'm here, my son. And he said, look, you have the fire and you have the wood, but you don't have a lamb for a burnt offering. The kid's pretty smart. But he hadn't figured it out yet. Why would he not figure it out? Because like you and like me, we're built to trust our parents, and especially ones that loved us, that would never harm us. Some of you had bad parents, but that's the way it's supposed to be. And listen to this. He says, and Abraham said to him, verse 8, my son, go. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And when they came to the place in which, verse 9, which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and placed the wood in order. And then he bound Isaac. Can you imagine Isaac's face? And so the Lord, as his son, and laid him on the altar and upon the wood. Can you imagine this boy? Can you imagine what he probably said? Dad, what are you doing? My God, Dad. I thought you loved me. I don't understand. I don't understand this at all. My goodness. Dad, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this, Dad? Now, if it was me laying there, I would have said, hey, I'll clean my room. I promise, Dad. I'll wash the dishes every night. I just thought I'd throw that in. I don't know where that came from. I don't think that was from God. Okay, now wait. Let's get back to serious. So he's laying this stuff on him. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called on him in verse 11 from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear. You know what the word fear means? Totally, completely, deeply respect God more than anything in your life. More than my life. More than my breath. More than my ideologies. More than my own thinking or will or want. Fear. Now I know that you respect me, and your words are not cheap. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and the Bible goes on and says he found a lamb in the slaughter, a ram, and he slaughters it. Verse 15, I'll take you down to verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called upon Abraham a second time from heaven. And right after he does this, right after he's obedient, right after he's sacrificial, right after he's in deep worship, immediately the next verse, the angel Lord says, the second time out of heaven, verse 22, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, I have not withheld your son. In other words, you gave of yourself. You are obedient beyond your own flesh, own feelings. Verse 17. And he says, blessings I will bless you. Multiply, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and the sand on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Immediately, this verse pops out, and immediately it becomes, listen to me, saints, it becomes the blessing. You want to be blessed, but it's going to be a formula. It's going to be a track. Let me read it to you. Verse 18 comes along and makes this statement. He says, in your seed for all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have, you have, you have, you have, you have obeyed even to the place of sacrifice that brought worship, that brought the unusual path to blessings. Real quick and I'm finished. Pop it up if you've got it. You see obedience, you see leads to sacrifice, something you don't want, something you don't understand, but God spoke it. Sacrifice leads to deep worship, and worship leads to deep blessing. And you, let's start at the beginning, want to be blessed. And let me tell you something about yourself. You're human like me and everybody else in this room. And you want to circumvent the process. And like water, do the easiest thing you can trying to get the results. And there's only one process, and that's the path that God has outlined for us in the scripture. Obedience that oftentimes, not always, will lead to sacrifice. Sacrifice leads to deep worship. Deep worship catches the heart of God. And the next verse out of the mouth of God is deep blessings. And you can do whatever you want to do, but now God has put the responsibility of you understanding in your heart. I believe it. I believe you're going to receive it. If you receive it, come on, give the Lord a great big praise today. Will you do that?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.